Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and this is the teleclass. And today is August 31st, 2010, the last day of August. Wow, this year is going by really, really fast. I can't believe it. It's two-thirds over already. Well, again, welcome, everyone. And this is a teleclass where we discuss a topic designed to expand our consciousness and awareness. And then we discuss the science of the cards, and I'll be doing free readings for those on the line who would like them. And as usual, I'll start off with a prayer just to anchor us into this time and space. So if you can, close your eyes. Just become aware of your breathing. You don't have to do anything, but just be aware that you're breathing. It's happening naturally. And just take in these words. We open in total trust that everything the universe brings us is a gift of love and support. We feel deep appreciation for these gifts and unconditionally accept them all. We see the activities of our day as an experience and expression of our expanded soul awareness and rejoice in all of them exactly as they are. We feel the abundance bestowed upon us by the universe and joyfully accept all the richness inherent in them, and we are committed to an ever-expanding awareness of who we really are. And so it is. So today's topic is going to be the existential imperative and the external quest. These two go hand in hand, and I'm going to endeavor to show you how and why. Okay, what is the existential imperative? Well, our highest goal, meaning our highest imperative in life, is to maximize our life essence. And that is basically to return back to our original essence of wisdom, power, and love. Remember, we came here, we counted and created our essence. And once we've done that, then our highest imperative is to actually return to that again, to become more of that. So this is our deepest and strongest motivation in life, whether we are aware of it or not, okay? So a way you could say this is that the ultimate motivation of all human behavior and all of our efforts in life is to increase life essence, to have more wisdom, more power, more love, joy, and in this way we're returning back to the one, to our original essence. So this is our main motivation. All our problems, though, arise when we don't know what it is we're truly seeking in life, when we really don't know that that's what we're, our ultimate motivation is or how to go about it, okay? And when we don't know that, which most of us don't, then we embark on an external quest for happiness, looking for happiness outside of ourselves, as opposed to going within or, as they say, seeking the kingdom of heaven within, okay? If you look all around, if you look at the human race, you'll see that almost everybody is struggling to control or hoard external things instead of focusing on their interior life. We're always going outside of us, ourselves. And we're always trying to, every person, every human is trying to feel good, trying to be happy, and in that, trying to avoid sort of activations of fear and anger, any kind of negative emotions. So we're always trying to feel good, and that, and part of that includes trying to keep away or stop any kind of negativity, okay? And since how we feel depends on who we are being, what we're really seeking to do is we're really seeking to be, really as opposed to feel, because our feeling comes directly from who we are being. So being is the key, and I've talked about this before, in some of the other classes. So again, I'm going to state the imperative. Okay, so our main goal in life, our highest imperative, and our only motivation really, our only motivation of all human behavior is one's own happiness. We're all seeking our own happiness, and we're seeking to avoid pain and to reach happiness, okay? And we all as humans obey this law, like I said, whether or not we realize it or not. And it may even seem as if these laws contradict the belief that many of us have that, you know, we're altruistic and sometimes self-sacrificing. Because the real truth is that every person in every circumstance is always acting for their own happiness as they understand it at the moment. Now, he or she may have a program that the happiness or well-being of another is necessary for their own, and so then they'll seek it for others. But the ultimate motivation is still their own happiness. So even when the person seems self-sacrificing their happiness for another person, they're still acting on their own happiness as their primary motivation. Because, again, the ultimate motivation of all human behavior and effort is to increase life essence, to become more wise, to become more powerful, and to become more loving. We can't help but obey this law because it's programmed within us. It's programmed into our spirit at the highest level of our being. And so our effort to follow this imperative, because it's programmed, will take us either on an internal quest or an external quest. But now we're going to just focus on the external quest, because that's where most of us are on this external quest. Because when we don't really understand this imperative that's operating within us, and when we don't understand how life really works, mainly that causal sequence that I have talked about, especially in the first class when I talked about identities, the causal sequence of be, feel, so who we're being creates what we're feeling, and that creates what we think, and then that determines what we do, and that determines what we have. That's the causal sequence of life, okay? And when we don't understand the sequence, the way this works, and most importantly, when we don't understand that we are cause, that we are the creator, then we're trapped in a fatal paradigm, and we will embark on an external quest for happiness, okay? So what's this fatal paradigm? Well, the basic belief of the fatal paradigm is that I am not cause, I am not the creator. And it goes like this, okay, I don't have the power to control my experiences, and given that I'm not the cause, and the cause is not within me, then it must be somewhere else, it must be outside of me, okay? We give it to, you know, things, people, parents, to an external God. So thus, external events, since external events are cause, you know, people and things, then they must be the cause of my experiences. They must be the cause of my emotions. They must be the cause of my pain, my unhappiness, and my happiness, okay? External events and circumstances determine how I feel, and they have the power to make me suffer or the power to make me happy. This is the fatal paradigm stemming from I am not cause, I'm not creator of my life. And the natural conclusion that goes with this paradigm is, well, if I'm not the cause and if external events or people are the cause, then I must control them. I must control externals in order to control my experience, okay? And thus, this begins the external quest, the search for love and happiness in the external world. And really, it can never be found there, but this begins that search for love and happiness in the external world, okay? And so our efforts to fulfill this existential imperative, because it is always operating, whether we're aware of it or not, but it's always this imperative to seek happiness and to avoid pain. And in order to fulfill this imperative to be happy, we begin to search for it outside of ourselves. And it has two sides, okay? The one side is trying to stop negatives. Okay, so I'm trying to stop the, quote, bad stuff from happening. I must change or stop or destroy bad events that cause my unhappiness and pain. I have to control others and the world to stop my suffering. That's the first side. The second side is trying to get positive. I must find the good things, quote, the good, quote, good things that cause happiness, and compete against others to get, accumulate, hoard enough of them to make me happy, right? Okay, so those are the two sides. I'm going to avoid the things I think are going to cause me pain, and I'm going to search for the things that I think are going to make me happy. Okay, so let's talk about the first side, the, you know, trying to stop the, quote, bads, okay? So if external events cause my negative emotions and my pain and suffering, then I'm a victim of externals, and I must control the bad things that happen. I must stop them. I must control them to stop them from hurting me. I must either attack the bad events in my life, and usually when we're attacking with negative energy, and I have gone over this in the creation of bad and how first of all, how we create bad, and then the negative energy that then is generated from that creation, and then the resistance to that, and then it just begets more negative energy. So if you want to listen to that in detail, then I suggest you download that recording. I believe it's the creation of bad. And I think there's several classes where I talked about how this actually works. But when they're, quote, bad things, then we go about trying to stop them. But we go about trying to stop them by using negative energy, which is anti-love. And anything that we give our attention to, that we energize, we put energy into, increases. That's one of the laws. And whether it's negative or positive, whatever you energize is going to increase that thing. And so when we're trying to stop or change things using negative energy, and if we have an idea that it's bad, we've already generated the negative energy just from the creation of the bad. And so when we try to use that negative energy, it just is going to make it bigger. It's going to increase it, okay? So then we say something is bad, and then we use negative behaviors, negative energy and actions to try to control the externals. And we do that to try to control our inner experience by controlling the outers. But it never really works because it just creates more negative energy, okay? And an example of this might be that one person may attack another person with anger or blame to try to stop that person because they believe that what that person is saying or doing is causing them pain, okay? But, you know, usually you can think about your own life when we're really angry with someone. What's the result? Well, they usually, you know, get angry back. It doesn't usually turn out well, okay? It just creates more drama and more kind of bad feelings, okay? So that's one example. That's one example of using negative energy to try to stop something. Another may be maybe just a little bit different in somebody maybe trying to appease other people to avoid criticism and to obtain their acceptance and love, okay? But that's negative in a way too because they're not really able to be themselves. Or someone else may use food and drugs, romance, alcohol to try to change or suppress a negative experience. And this is the mechanism of all addictions. So when we're focused on trying to change the world outside of us, we're doing it usually with negative actions and negative behaviors, which just generates more of that, okay? Because that's the problem with all of these is that it's the use of a negative energy in some manner or another. And that, in the long run, only really increases the pain. And it may seem temporarily that, you know, it's working, but in the long run, it really just causes more pain, okay? Because as I said, whatever we energize increases, and any use of negative energy begets more negative energy. But most important of all is that it doesn't really, when we're trying to change things outside of ourselves, it doesn't really address the real cause of all of our negative emotions and experiences. Because remember, the real cause is, if you go to the causal sequence, it's the being feel of our negative identities that we have created. That is what is the cause of our pain, okay? It's who we're being and the resulting experiences from who we're being that really creates our experience of anything, negative or positive, okay? But when we don't know that we're a cause, which is that fatal paradigm, when we don't know we are cause and we don't know how we are creating our experiences, we're trapped into believing that the cause is outside of us. And so no matter what we do, the solution can never be external because it's not being created outside of us, it's being created within. But when we don't know that, we're continually trapped like on this wheel trying to, find the solution outside of ourselves. So that's side one, that's trying to stop the, quote, bad, okay? Side two is trying to get the positives. Oh, this is a fun one, okay. I mean, we can all relate to this one. So, again, if externals are the cause of my happiness, they're the cause of my happiness and my unhappiness according to this fatal paradigm. And if they're the cause of my happiness, then I must get enough of the right externals to cause me to be and feel secure, happy, and loved. You know, those are positive identities. So I'm looking for things outside of me to feel good about myself, okay? And when I get enough of these, quote, right things, I'll be happy. except for fear of losing them, of course. Okay? So usually this breaks down, you know, it's two forms, usually people. And with people, you know, we're trying to control others to get them to think, feel, and act and treat us in ways that please us, okay? I must control what others say and do so that they make me happy and produce in me a feeling of being powerful and respected and important and good and worthy and loved. And notice that all of those are all positive identities. So we're trying to get people to treat us a certain way so that we can feel these positive identities within ourselves, okay? And I had an experience of that this weekend where I really saw that I wanted someone to do something for me in a way that, you know, so that I could feel good. And I really caught myself, and it was a very interesting kind of seeing, and then a very interesting place that I actually came to as a result of really taking responsibility for that and realizing that it's not anyone's job to make me feel any kind of way, and no one can. It's all an internal sort of experience and an internal doing, and I had to take responsibility to begin to create that within myself. But we're doing it all the time, okay? And the other thing we're trying to then is we're trying to get things, okay? So if I only find the things outside of me that can cause happiness and then get more and more and more of them until it makes me, till I feel powerful, again, successful, worthy, secure, and happy all the time, then I'm great. When I get enough of these things, these external symbols of value and importance and success, then they will transform my inner experience, my inner being accordingly. Now, how many times have you said to yourself, if I can only get that thing, then I'll be happy? I know for me, I used to say that all the time. I don't say it anymore so much. I don't remember saying it that much anymore. I mean, I may say it, but I remember when I used to say it all the time. And then I'd get that thing, and then I'd be satisfied for a while. And then I was on to the next thing, and then I'd hear myself say, wow, God, it's God, please, God, you know, if I can only get this thing, then I'll be happy, and I won't ask for anything more. I remember this so distinctly. I used to say this, and I used to pray to the God outside of me to make this thing happen, and then it would happen, and it would wear off, okay? And that's the thing with externals, because our solutions cannot be found in the externals, okay? So what goes with this is that, and you know, because since I'm not the creator of my own experiences, and I'm definitely not the creator of the physical universe around me, then I must compete with others in an uncaring and even hostile world for a limited supply of things. I mean, that is what is going on. All the wars, you know, people stealing, people cheating, this idea of scarcity, and then we have to fight for the good things. We got to fight for the oil or the diamonds or the minerals or the this or the that, and it's just it just is this roller coaster ride, okay? And so is this, all of this starting to sound familiar? You know, we're either trying to stop or change something that we feel is going to cause us pain, or we're trying to get something or somebody that we believe will make us happy, okay? This is at its root the external quest, okay? And I want to talk about a part of this external quest that's very, very insidious, and it takes a while to work with this, to really, really get it. So I'm just going to say what it is, but, you know, just be kind to yourself because I'm still, like, dealing with this. Okay, it's what I'm going to talk about is called moments of pleasure, and I'm going to call it a MOP, M-O-P, moments of pleasure, okay? A moment of pleasure is a temporary experience of self-love, okay, or a temporary experience of happiness that results from some kind of activation of a positive identity within us, but it occurs when some, quote, good event, some good trigger event shows up in our world, okay? Like, for instance, I get a new car, okay? And when I get that new car, it triggers in me a positive identity of maybe, oh, I'm worthy or I'm successful. Look at me. I was able to get this new car. Okay, or it might be you might get a promotion, you know, and it triggers you know, an experience or a feeling of or an identity of, I am successful, okay? So a mop is a moment of pleasure that occurs, you know, when some good trigger event shows up in our world. And what it does is it activates a positive identity, okay? Okay, and so what will happen is we will pursue, so since we get used to this, we begin to pursue externals in order to actually have this activation of these positive identities, okay? But the thing is, and this is where it's tricky and it's insidious, because when we're trying to control our identity, remember, our identity is in a definition about who we are, who we be. So if we're trying to control who we're being through controlling externals, what will happen is the moment of pleasure will soon pass. Remember when I talked about, I would say, if I can only get this and it would only last long, and then I'd be on to trying to get the other thing, because they pass. Okay, and the reason why they pass is because when we're trying to control how we're feeling from outside of us, it's not a true creation of a positive identity reality. Meaning that we're not creating and sustaining that positive identity through our internal will and power. Instead, we're trying to control how we're feeling, being our identity, at the effect of external triggers, at the effect of external things and people and, quote, good events. Now, this is very dangerous because it's very insidious, because it really feels like when, you know, these things happen, these external things happen, it feels so good, okay? And it does feel like I'm feeling good because of that thing. Oh, here is this wonderful person, you know, and I'm in love, and when I'm with that person and I see that person and I feel just so wonderful, and I believe that that person is the source of my good feeling. Not really understanding that it's just activating, you know, a positive identity, okay, within me. But again, these things don't ever last long because, again, it's not being, you know, sustained from within. And that is the danger of it, you know. So, because positive events, as I said, do seem to cause sparks of happiness. And that creates this illusion that the externals do cause our experience, okay. And this, again, reinforces the apparent validity of the external quest, which is why, you know, we just haven't gotten off of it sooner, because it seems as if, I mean, there are enough of these moments of pleasure from these external events that it seems as if that this is the way to try to get things and to try to be happy, you know, okay. And so it's really tricky to get this, but, you know, if you really began to look at your life and look at how these things don't last, you'll, you know, sooner or later we'll begin to see, oh, no, this is an illusion. It really is not bringing us true happiness. It brings us these moments of pleasure, these moments of happiness, but they're never really lasting, and they're never really sustained, because our identities can only be sustained from within us. We're sustaining our negative identities by energizing them all the time, and so we have to learn to do the same with the positive. We have to learn how to create and energize the positive identities within us such that they're sustained, such that no matter what is happening outside of us, we're being this worthy, we're being wise, we're being important, we're being valuable through our own will, through our own what's called fiat, our own inner will power, okay? So what happens is that by chasing these moments of pleasure through externally, through these trying to get these external events to kind of be a certain way so that we can feel a certain way, we actually stay on an emotional roller coaster of uncontrolled identities, you know, and our emotions are swayed up and down and left and right and around, and because the truth is the world's ever-changing, life's ever-changing, and no one really ever is going to all the time be catering to us, you know, for anything, really. And so when we're on this external quest and we're trying to use externals to control the way we feel, we're basically just buffeted about, you know. And at some point we really get tired of that and we just say, okay, enough. We fall to our knees and we ask for a different way, okay? Okay. So So the external world, I mean, the external quest is really a challenge when we really look at it, okay? Okay, because as I said, even when we get what we want, have you ever noticed it's never really enough, okay? Again, we're quickly on to acquiring the next thing. Boy, I know that one. And so we're just basically always doomed to living in dissatisfaction and being on a merry-go-round of trying to get more and more and more, okay? That's what happens when we're looking for love outside of ourselves. And so the search will just keep going on. It'll just keep continuing as long as we're looking outside. So, but if we want to change that, we have to go to, you know, the famous saying of the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within, and it is the only source of true love and happiness. I know that can be hard to take in sometimes, but it is the only source of true love and happiness. But even the external quest will eventually take us home because, you know, it uses the pain and suffering of this merry-go-round to eventually force us to go and seek answers from within, okay? So it may be a long and painful way around, but it always gets us back eventually to the one because it always gets us back to going within. And you could say the external quest can be likened to the impossible dream. And pretty soon we begin to, at some point, we really realize it's an impossible dream, okay? But as I said, you know, no one's ever lost. We're all finding our way home. But eventually we must get off the path of the externals in order to find true happiness, okay? So the true quest is the internal quest, okay? That's really the quest that we're really seeking, and it's the true challenge of life, this internal quest to work on ourselves and find love and happiness within. Again, back to this existential imperative, the purpose of life is to move from who we are now to who we want to be, and for each person, each being, to create and recreate themselves into higher levels of essence, identities of wisdom, power, value, and love, joy, until they are the ultimate being again, okay? So in summary, the ultimate motivation of all human behavior and effort is to increase life essence, as I just said, to become more wise, more powerful, more loving, and return to the one. When we don't understand how life works, mainly the causal sequence of be, feel, think, do, and have, we usually have it backwards from I gotta have, you know, we usually have it backwards. The external quest is like we're doing the causal sequence backwards. Have, do, think, and then feel. We want to have in order to be and feel. But the way it really works is be who you're being, you know, creates your feeling, what you think, what you do, and then what you have. And so when we don't understand that and we don't really know or acknowledge that we are the cause, then we embark on this external quest for happiness in order to fulfill this imperative within us. The external quest can never bring us true happiness because our experience are being generated from within, not outside of ourselves. Only seeking the kingdom of heaven within, this internal quest will ensure happiness and fulfillment. The internal quest is working on ourselves at the level of being, at the level of identity. And first, we must acknowledge that we are the cause and the creator of all of our identities, positive and negative. And since we are the creator, all the cause of them, we do have the power to create anew. And we create anew by discreating our negative identities and our creation of bad and all the resistance that's been built up around that. And then we energize positive identities. Actually, we go back and forth. So this is like a process. This is like a lifelong process. So, you know, you spend some time discreating and de-energizing negatives and the resistances, and then you energize positives. And then you kind of you do it as determined by what gets triggered in the moment and what's happening in context to your life. But it's important to when we're not when we're not discreating the negatives, that we are energizing as much as possible positive identities of who we want to be and how we want to, and who we want to be and how we're going to live. And this is how we actually generate our happiness from within. And this is how it is sustained. It's sustained from within our being by our will and our power. And nothing, no outside event can then actually change that, because it's being sustained from within your willpower of your being the creator and your being as God has given each of us this power to create. So that is the topic for today. It went a little bit long, but I hope it was helpful and it will be helpful for those on the line and those who will listen in later. I think it's a very, very important topic. I mean, I have just continued to just learn so much from this, and it's just amazing when we really begin to look at our lives and see how much we are living in this way. Even when we know it intellectually, it's just amazing to watch ourselves. So, but just watch yourselves in love. And give yourself lots of space. We're funny beings, and we created this. How brilliant we are! Okay, so that's the topic for today, and I'm going to move right into the science of cards. So, today is August 31st, 2010. Oh, I'm going to take a breath. I realize I've been talking 30 minutes straight. Okay, all right. Today is August 31st, 2010, and if you're born today, you are Eight of Hearts birth card and a Six of Clubs ruling card. Okay, eight, another eight. Eight is the number of power, okay, eight and focus. Eights have the ability to focus, okay, that's where their main power comes. They have this ability to have laser focus on something, and particularly in the area of their suit. So this is a heart, and hearts are relationship and love. So the this card really is about a healer's power, the ability to really love another person and to love other people. And an eight of heart person can just love somebody just by looking at it. They have that ability to focus that love energy on someone, okay? And it's a very fortunate and blessed card because they have a really fortunate life path, and this would be someone who would be very charming, okay, and have a lot of magnetism. And, you know, this is like the power of love, okay? Now, the thing with eights that they, all eights have to contend with is because they have this power, you know, it becomes, you know, this is always the question, is will they use it to help others or to get what they want from others, you know, in a way that's sort of like detrimental. That's always the issue with eights. You know, eights can get into power struggle. So it's like when they use that power in a very directed, very positive way, then it really contributes just much to their life and to the lives of people around them, okay? So they're, one of their biggest lessons will revolve around this power and how to use it, okay? And with they have a really good mind, an incredible mind, because their card sits in the Mercury-Venus position in the spiritual space. So this gives them a really incredible mind. Now, they have a seven of spades first karma card, and this means that if they abuse any of that eight power, that's going to come back on them through health issues, because seven of spades is, you know, and it's it, and the first karma card is that which we're trying to integrate. So, if you know, it could be a tendency that they could have health issues, particularly if they're not integrating their power in a way that's positive for them. And seven of spades is also a card of faith. So they also, too, come in with some ability to have faith, okay? And they actually have another seven as a karma card. They have two sevens as karma cards. And it's really interesting because with this eight energy, which is this power, there's another, the eight of diamonds also has a seven as a karma card. So I think it's sort of like this way of, you know, when you're eight and you have this power, it's you really have to, like, go to the spiritual side with this power. Because seven is a spiritual number, and seven is about going to the spiritual side, you know. So seven of hearts is their second karma card, and so this gives them an ability to detach from fear and to truly love others. Because seven of hearts, on its negative side, is attachment, and on its positive side, it's non-attached to love, it's spiritual love, It's letting go of any fear of any kind of abandonment from anyone. So it really is the ability to love people. And people who are counselors, spiritual counselors, who work with people, would be represented by a seven of hearts. It's really being able to love people and give love away, spiritual love, non-attached love. Okay? So, as I mentioned earlier, you have a pretty fortunate life path, so you're capable of great success and recognition, and this is because the Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus cards in your life spread all sit in the crown line. There are three positions in the crown line, and you've got your Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus cards all sit in the crown line. So that means that, and the crown line is the highest spot in the life spread. So that means, you know, people see you. So, you know, you're capable of great success and capable of being recognized, okay? And your life really takes off after age 26 because you leave the influences of the two sixes. The sixes are stability and it's balance. And so sometimes sixes can get stuck in a rut. And when you're the first 2 years of your life, you have sixes as your first, the first 13, first 26 years, which are the 13 influences are under the sixes, and so it can feel as if your life is just not, you know, moving or it's not a lot of change. But once you get out of the sixes, your life really takes off, okay? And you've got that eight of diamonds, which is the crown position, the eight of diamonds, and in your Saturn. Remember, I said you had three cards in your crown line. Well, that your Saturn sits, your eight of diamonds is your Saturn card, and it's right at the top position. And so that means you're meant to shine. So eight of hearts is a really fortunate, you know, kind of a life path. Whoever, you know, when you decide to come in as an eight, you know, you really have given yourself a lot of blessings and just a lot of opportunity to be successful and to shine. But again, with these two sevens as karma cards, you know, you have to go to the spiritual side to really to successfully navigate this eight of hearts. Now, with the six of clubs ruling card, it would make you, you know, more mental. Like hearts are, you know, feeling, it's love, it's relationship. So you would be very relationship oriented. With the six of clubs ruling card, it helps ground you. Okay, it helps keep you on an even course because remember I talked about the sixes. So, you know, you will tend to develop things and stay with them. That's what sixes usually do, okay? And instead of leaving things half-finished. So this would be a part of your personality. But sixes can also be stubborn, so you can be stubborn at times and you can have a competitive streak. And success is a possibility for you, too, because as long as you don't stay in a rut too long, because you're really the six of clubs sits two spots behind the eight of hearts. So you have cards in the crown line, too. So you're really capable of great success. And with the six of clubs, you have a good mind because clubs are mind. And six has the ability, they have a high intuitive ability. They can tune into their intuition very deeply, more than most people, okay? So the six, you must be true to your word. That's the karma of the six of clubs is, six is also the number of karma in clubs, so they have to watch what they say, and they have to be true to what they say. Otherwise, it'll come back on them. So they have to watch the way they speak to people and what they say. Okay, but at heart, sixes are peacemakers, and they'll go to great lengths to, you know, create a peaceful, loving environment. Okay, so as I said, you have a gift for intuition, and you have a special purpose to help others find the light. That's one of the like the Six of Clubs is one of the cards, one of the only cards where they have this built into them. If they can tune into it, some special purpose to help others find the light. Okay, so that would be something about if you were born today. And again, you know, we're dealing with the science of the cards, and it's it is a representation of our Earth's calendar. So I'm going to actually see if there's someone on the line, see who wants a reading before I go on, because there may be people who want a reading. So I'm going to unmute. Hello. Is there anyone on the line who'd like a reading?
Yes, Clarissa, hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Anna Amato.
Hey, Anna. I'm so glad you called again. I missed you the last time. I wasn't able to get to you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I try to tune in when I can, when I'm free at this hour, and catch you live. So nice to hear your voice and your message. I really enjoyed them.
Oh, thank you, Anna. It's so great to hear your voice, too. And so the way this works is that I'm going to, you know, ask you for your birthday, and I do that so, if, in case there are other people on the line who are, like, tuning in or who are listening later and who are trying to study this system. Because, as I said, I was suggesting that people buy the book. It's called Cards of Your Destiny, and it's by Robert Lee Camp, and it has all of the spreads in them for every birth card. And you can look up when I say what a person's birth cards are, and as I'm giving them a reading, you can look it up and follow along, and that's a way that you can learn how to use the system. He also teaches you how to use the system in the book as well. But if you want to, you know, see how a person is actually, a live person is interpreting the cards, then you can do that. So, so what's your birthday, Anna?
My birthday is tomorrow, November 1st. Is the year helpful? I don't care. I don't mind people knowing how old I am.
Well, just tell me how old you. How old will you be?
I will be 51 years old tomorrow.
51, okay. Yeah. So September 1st. So that would make you a 10 of diamonds, 8 of spades, okay? 10 of diamonds, 8 of spades. Spades. Wow,
that's
you
good.
Got a lot of power, girl. You've got the two power cards, because as I mentioned before, the 8 is power and focus, but the 10 is also a power card. The 10 is power in that it deals with, it enlarges things. So 10 deals with large things, like, say, a 10 of hearts is like people, audiences, big audience. A 10 of clubs is like clubs, my teaching, like, so it'd be publishing. And so the 10 of diamonds would be large amounts of money or high value that incorporates, you know, more than just yourself, but maybe even an audience, that kind of way, that kind of thing, okay? Giving value to lots of people, okay? So 10 of diamonds. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about your cards, and then after I do that, then you can, if you have a question. And I can just, you know, just then do a general thing for the year ahead for you, since it's your birthday. Because this system starts with your birthday. So it goes from birthday to birthday.
Okay?
It's the way this works. So I'm going to, I'm so excited. I got someone's birthday. okay, so 10 of diamonds. Well, first of all, the 10 of diamonds is the card that sits right in the center of the grand solar life spread, okay? And so what that means is it's the most blessed position in the spread, okay? Now, it's almost like a cosmic joke because it sits in the most blessed spot because it's in the Jupiter, the vertical Jupiter column, and it's in the horizontal Jupiter column, so it sits right in the middle. But here's a comic joke. You're the most blessed card in the deck, but you usually don't know it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's like, because, okay, if you think Jupiter column, it's like abundance. Jupiter is abundance. Jupiter is beneficent. It bestows goodness and abundance and blessings on everything it touches. And I think even physically in our universe, it's such a big planet. Its energy field actually swallows up and things in that are out there in the universe that could hit the Earth. Its field is so big that it actually prevents a lot of things from coming to our atmosphere. It's just really this beneficial planet. So anyway, but you don't really know it, and especially a lot of 10 of diamonds women, okay? And so abundance surrounds you constantly, and your life could be one blessing after another, but it's like you block it a lot of times, okay? It's almost like there's a way in which you don't know how to receive or you refuse to receive, because part of that is that a 10 is like an ace. So if you add, you know, a 10, you could say 1 and a 0. If you add the 1 plus 0, that's a 1. So a 10 operates a lot like an ace, and an ace is 1, and 1 is alone. They like to, like an ace is here to prove to themselves that they can do something. So a 10 is, though, has had all the experience of 1 to 9 and 10. So it's a little bit different in that you have the experience. What ace is, you kind of like you're new, you're just kind of coming out, and you just really are eager to get started. But 10, you've had the experience, but you act like an ace in that you can be a lone ranger. And this is what can hinder you, especially like 10 of diamonds women. It can hinder them from allowing a man to give to them. And just allowing themselves to receive, because they think they have to do it themselves. They have to do it all themselves, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they have to really learn to allow the blessings and the abundance in, and they have to learn how to let people give to them, okay? Is this kind of familiar or making any sense at all?
Yes, it's very familiar.
Okay, all right. So... But, you know, but with tens and aces, they have a lot of passion, a lot of ambition, and you have an innate business sense, because that diamond is value and money. Diamonds is what we value, what we place value on, and also represented by money. So it does give you an innate sense, business sense, okay? And you can be successful in almost anything you choose. And, again, self-exploration and self-discovery is important to you being a ten. You know, because that's what aces intend. They're so accomplished. A ten is so accomplished that, you know, they forget to, like, work in cooperation with other people. I mean, they can and they do, but they forget that that's part of the joy of life and that they don't have to, you know, do it all alone. But they do need alone time, because that's just part of the nature of being an ace or a ten, okay?
Yeah.
But just remember that, you know, you want to be able to work with others, because that is going to also be joyful. And you need relationships, too, okay? And being a 10 and being that you're sitting in the middle, you like to be, you know, whether you admit it or not, the center of attention, too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And but that makes you, you know, make you a good performer, a good teacher. And you have a Queen of Clubs as the first karma card. And this makes you have a great gift of intuition. That's one of the most intuitive cards in the deck. Okay, and when you can access this gift of intuition and use it to guide you along, then you'll really make decisions and choices that will bring you to success after success. Meaning that, you know, it's really guiding your inner journey, which then helps you make decisions that are in alignment with that inner experience, and then that just leads you to success and to your highest fulfillment. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But you have actually two queens as karma cards, because you got a Queen of Spades as your second karma card, and this means you do have some kind of remembrance of self mastery. Okay, so because you have this remembrance of self mastery, you can use that kind of innate muscle to begin to allow yourselves to receive. And queens have to give. I mean, they like to nurture. So it's like whatever you decide to do or in your life, it's really doing it in a way that you're being in service to large groups of people or to many people, but from a very nurturing kind of way. Okay, queens mm-hmm. like to nurture and take care of people, but you'll do it in a very service-oriented way, because queens are also royal. You know, it's not just one person. You're like doing it to the public at large, and that's that 10 too. Okay, so that's your birth card. Now, Eight of Spades, ruling card. Now, a ruling card is really how you would express. It's like more of your personality, how you would personally express this. You know, what you come here to do with this 10, mm-hmm. and an 8 again is a power card. Okay, and it's the ability to focus, and it's in spades, and spades is the strongest suit, and spades is the suit of work and health. So it would give you an ability to heal, and it would give you the ability to work really. You're a very good worker, okay? You have the ability to do a lot of work and to do it with a lot of power and focus, and it gives you a tremendous willpower. Okay, and it's like power through work, you know, and you could probably handle more work than two or three people, okay, when you can focus this energy that you have for success, okay, and work will, you'll always want to have some kind of work, because being that you're an ace of spades, your work will always be important to you. You'll always look for it to bring you some kind of satisfaction, okay? But this, again, as I was talking about the ace, wow, I get a chance to talk about the ace because I was talking about the eight of hearts earlier, and then you're at eight of spades. Again, all eights will have an issue about using how they're using their power, and it's about learning how to use the power with wisdom and love, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay? Because being a powerful and a super worker, you know, challenges may arise that, you know, that may apply to how you're being in relationship with to other people. Like, you know, because eight of spades is a lot of willpower. So it might, you know, you may have some challenges around how you're using that, you know, and making sure you're not, like, using forcefulness with others or to get other people to, you know, to do certain things, okay? And because it gives you such a super ability, you know, this is just something that may arise. I'm not saying that this is what you're doing. I mean, it could turn into some kind of arrogance or have you feel superior or alienate others. That's what could happen on the negative side of this eight of spades. But when they really learn how to take this power and use it wisely and to deal with others, to enlist their cooperation and support, then mutual respect will be gained, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit about your cards, okay? Any questions about that?
I'm in the middle of a transition work-wise, and I was wondering how I might be able to use some of this information to kind of, you know, guide me in how I approach a new job, a new career.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look at your spreads for the year, and you have in your Ten of Diamonds spread, you're 51, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I would look in the Jupiter, where I would look, well, I would look at your year-long cards, and for those who may be wanting to study this system, I always look for Jupiter and see what cards are in Jupiter to see what energies are present in Jupiter, because that is always going to tell me the best ways you can make money for the year and where you're going to be blessed. And then I look at your year-long cards, and there are 5 year-long cards for each of the spreads.
Oh, good.
So, one thing I can say is that you're displacing the Six of Clubs this year, starting tomorrow. And the Six of Clubs is when you're displaced, you really need to pay attention to this. And this could be a year when you discover your destiny, when you discover what you're meant to do here, okay? So when you get that, and the Six of Clubs is when you're displacing the Six of Clubs, it's great because 3 of your periods will be in the crown line. And so... you're going to, and you have a Ten of Spades and a Queen of Spades in Jupiter. Ten of Spades is super work. I mean, again, it's like the Eight of Spades, but it's even larger. It's like a lot of work projects, and the Queen of Spades is also someone who masters work. She's the master of work and the master of being in service to people in work. And so I can see this year there's an opportunity to have quite a bit of work projects going on here. But you're displacing the Six of Clubs, and you could get recognized this year for some work that you do. And then in Saturn, hello, excuse me, is there someone on the line who is doing something in the kitchen? If you could press 4-star, I believe, that'll mute you just so we can keep a clean line. Okay, so thank you. All right, so, I lost my train of thought. Okay, so, and you have a King of Spades, and so you got this Ten of Spades and Queen of Spades and Jupiter, and then you have in your Jupiter period, which is, let me see, which is, that's going to begin for you. So you've got some time to prepare yourself to kind of, I'd be looking around with that Six of Clubs. I would be looking around for any kind of clues as to, you know, what I'm here to do, really do. That Jupiter period starts in February 5th. So for the rest of this year, I would really be looking for, you know, clues as to what to do, because when that Jupiter period hits, you want to be prepared, okay? And so you got that Ten of Spades, Queen of Spades, and then right after that, in Saturn, which starts, your Saturn period will start 7 weeks. These periods are 7 weeks long. And so that's going to start March 29th. You got a King of Spades. King of Spades is the most powerful card in the deck in terms of the outer world in terms of the material mundane world. It's no card is higher than the King of Spades, okay? And then right after that, you got the Jack of Spades, which is higher lifestyle on the material level, and it's spiritual initiation on the spiritual level. So you've got these powerful, you know, Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus, you've got Ten of Spades, King of Spades, Jack of Spades is your direct cards. These are all very powerful cards of work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you're going to be in the crown line. Hold up. You go into the crown line for your Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn period. So actually your Mars period, you want to be prepared, and your Mars period starts December 15th. So by December, I would have done everything I could to prepare myself, looking for clues, looking for answers as to what I would as to what to do, and then I would really get going to put them out into the world in some kind of way. So I'm giving you a timeline. I'm going to look deeper to see, but I don't know what it's going to be, but I can look some more to give you some clues. Okay, so one thing I'm seeing is that. You are, your focus for this year in your Ten of Diamonds is a Seven of Hearts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the long-range card is what we're focused on for the year.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a Seven of Hearts. Now, this can be, this means you have to go within. Seven of Hearts is either you feel abandoned and betrayed, and the solution to all sevens, the solution is a spiritual solution. So that means you have to go within to unconditional love within yourself. And realize that your source of love is within you, and this will allow you to let go of any kind of attachments that you have to any kind of personal kind of love. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this, and I wouldn't be surprised if this will be going on and off throughout the entire year, but you have to kind of be paying attention to it, and you have to do, whenever it comes up, just take the opportunity to go within and do the work within until you're to the point that by the end of your next year, you would have had this handled, okay? And you got a Three of Clubs underneath that. Now, a Three of Clubs can be very, it's a very, very creative card mentally, and it can lead to worry, okay? So it's really important that you really do go within and maybe meditate, or however it is you meditate. Meditate to you might be going for a walk, I don't really know, but however it is that you can actually tune into that spiritual side and that spiritual love, and really begin to fill yourself up with that spiritual love. And because this Three of Clubs, like I said, if this energy of it is not harnessed, it can lead to worry. Okay, so that's one thing I want to say. But other than that, your other cards for the year long cards are a Ten of Clubs. That's a teacher card. Teaching is I would say is going to be something that you is a clue.
Oh.
Okay, because your Pluto, which is your challenge, is the Ten of Clubs, and that is publishing. That's writing a book. It's teaching, and you got a Queen of Clubs underneath it, underlying it, which means that's the card of intuition. Remember, that's your first karma card of your Ten of Diamonds, and that's tuning in to your intuition and taking the messages from that intuition and then sharing them in some kind of way. So, really, teaching in some way, maybe writing in some way. Is really a challenge. It's going to be something that's going to be challenging you to transform. You need to transform into that, because then your result card and the challenge and the result go hand in hand. Is a Jack of Clubs, okay? So clubs, it's information, it's knowledge, it's teaching knowledge, and the Jack is it elevates whatever it touches. So a Jack is about a higher standard of something. It's an elevation. It's an upgrade. So it's, and you got a Ten of Spades underneath that. So, again, anything with tens is like something big. It's audiences. So teaching information in some kind of way that actually is going to up-level people's lives in some form or fashion is, I think, is a clue for you, okay, this year. Okay, and just working steadily, you got your environment as a fourth space, and that's just satisfaction through, health and work, so your health should be good. If you just put one foot in front of the other and you just take your sound values and you just apply them one at a time, then you'll be great. You got a great year coming up, Anna. I just, you got some really, really great cards in your Ten of Diamonds spread, and now I'm going to look in your Eight of Spades. So this is definitely a year for you to discover what you're meant to do and to put yourself out there, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Definitely a year for that. And then for in your Eight of Spades at sea, you got a Queen of Diamonds long range. So you need to be focusing on your business, your own business, some kind of way.
Okay,
your own business, whether you're creating workshops or you're writing books or you're something where you're putting out something for other people to educate people or to give people knowledge, but you're doing it, but it's like your own business, okay? Queen of Diamonds, and again, remember that queen energy I talked about being in service to others, and you got a four of diamonds underneath that, and this is the card of financial sort of protection. So when you're doing this, you should find the money, or the money should be there as you are. Queen of Diamonds. So your own business, okay? Mm-hmm. And you are, as your result, and you've got an Ace of Diamonds. Challenge, which is basically what you need to transform within yourself, uh-huh. And a Ten of Hearts result.
Oh.
Ten of Hearts, again, another ten, and Ten of Hearts is audiences, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is definitely a year for you to begin to just put yourself out. And Ace, so Ace is new work, okay?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
New work. Let me see what's underlying it. I don't know. You got a Six of Spades, Nine of Spades. Something karmic. I don't know. There's some, have you had any kind of hits, intuitive hits about what you might be doing?
A little bit. I mean, I've got a few different things. Because like I said, I am in transition. You know, like I am thinking about different things, and some have. But they're all very just little seeds now. So I don't know which sort of to follow. But I think I'll just sort of wait or seek out and see what seems to be have the most energy around it, I guess.
Yeah. So okay. So your year is beginning tomorrow, and it usually takes about 2 months before you really kind of get into the groove of the new year until things begin to become apparent to you.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself a month or two, but just have this in your mind. Be on the lookout for information.
Yeah.
Because so that's what I would say for the next couple, and then really begin to get in gear. After that, really, and really write down all the information that you're getting, all these intuitive seeds, these intuitive
mm-hmm.
hits, and write them down so that you have them. Because, your long range is a Queen of Diamonds, and it's also your Jupiter card for the year. And whenever our long range is our Jupiter card, that means this is going to be a really good year for you, okay?
Yeah.
A really, really good year for you. And like I said, you've got this queen underlying the Queen of Diamonds is a Four of Diamonds, so there will be protection and money. So I don't know. I know you said you're in a transition and you think looking for work, but it's going to all turn out well. Okay, it's going to turn out well. The money will be there, but it's definitely a year for you to go into something new and to launch it in a big way, because you got all these tens and you got tens underlying the other cards, and I mean, you can't do this small. Because
right.
what it is the energies are present for it, so it's there to support you.
Yeah.
So it just tells you what energies are present. The energies don't make you do anything, but they're there if you should choose to harmonize with them. If you should choose to, take this step, these steps, they'll be there to support you. That's what these cards, the energies of these cards are saying are in store for you. This year coming up, okay?
Right,
and you've got the Queen of Clubs, again, as your environment. So you tuning into your intuition
mm-hmm.
is going to be important, and it's going to be a blessing. And you should be getting a lot of intuitive hits, and you want to write them down. And then you taking these messages in whatever form, unfolds for you, and sharing them with the world is, what you're to do this year. Okay.
Oh, big things. Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yes, that was so helpful. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
As these things, come up. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you. Very encouraging and inspiring.
Okay. And just one other thing, you got a Two of Clubs underneath this Queen of Diamonds. So, just just deal with whatever fears you have, because the Two of Clubs can be fearful mentally, you know. Well, they anyway, just with that Three of Clubs and the Two of Clubs, just really watch your mind, okay, and just go to the you want to kind of de-energize any of the fear, and then you want to energize the positive identities that you want to be experiencing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the support is there for this new work that you're going to be doing, and the support is there for you to launch it, okay?
Great.
And if you want, you can just, you know, download this whenever, you know, after it's posted and listen to it again.
Oh, good, yeah.
You know, over, you know, if you want to, you know, be reminded of your year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank
okay,
you
so I hope that was helpful to you. I don't even know what time it is, but let me see.
After one.
Oh, it's after one. Okay. Well, thank you for those who are still on the line, and thank you, Anna, for allowing me to be of service to you today.
Thank you. This is wonderful. I feel like I got a full reading.
Anna,
thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Denise. I just wanted to say what a wonderful, powerful reading, and I support you in going for it.
Denise, thank you.
Yay,
what a wonderful serendipitous connection. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yay for Anna
wonderful
and her big year ahead. Woohoo!
Yay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks
to those. So you are supported, girl.
Yeah,
I am.
Go for it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, everyone. That's it for today.
Wait,
I'm out of here. This will
Clarissa?
Be posted. Yeah.
What's the name of the author of the book? I got the name of the book.
Okay, Robert Lee Camp, three different words. C-A-M-P is his last name. Robert Lee Camp, Cards of Your Destiny.
Okay.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, I'll be back here next week, same time. Okay.
We'll tune in.
Have a wonderful day,
congratulations,
everyone.
Congratulations, Anna. Happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you.
Bye. Happy birthday. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.